Well, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Good. Do you feel kind of like the seasons have shifted a little bit? Not only is it September, but it kind of feels like it got a bit cooler, and I'm afraid summer may have vanished right underneath us. But it's all right. With every new season comes new things. And so, as Rob mentioned, as Pastor Bill mentioned, on the next 5 weeks, we're going to be going through our vision as a church, which is basically based on five passions of Jesus. And using him as a model for our life and everything. We want to be about these passions. And so if we can get up that first, that slide there, I'll just go through these five passions briefly, and I'll get into my sermon, because they kind of relate. So the first passion I'll talk about is calling. Jesus helped people develop and fulfill their calling. Teaching. Jesus constantly taught and demonstrated the gospel of the kingdom of God. Community. Jesus built community into the hearts of his disciples. Mission and outreach. Jesus was constantly reaching out to others, giving, healing, and restoring. And finally, the presence of God, the most important thing in Jesus' life. The very first recorded words of Jesus are, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Just go back one slide, if you would, I think. And it should be present. It should be the last click, unless it doesn't work here. Anyway, but I want to focus today on the presence of God. And if I had to title my sermon, I would call it His Presence in the Journey. That God's presence should be thought of less as a destination or something to be obtained and more of an accompaniment along life's journey. In other words, His presence is not an it. It's a Him. You right now are in my presence. I right now am in your presence. And so we talk about God's presence, I think in charismatic circles sometimes we talk about it like an it. But it's not, it's Him. And so I want to talk today about His presence in the journey. And if you will, consider this a primer for the next 5 weeks. Because what I want to talk about is how His presence is also in the other four passions of Jesus. So first, before I get into that, quick little breakdown of what kind of presence I'm talking about. In the Bible, there's three types of presence. There's omnipresence, which means basically God is everywhere. David said, Psalm 139, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I descend to the depths, you're there. God is everywhere, sees everything. Omnipresent. Covenant present, God's promise to be with us forever. It was in the Old Testament. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And Jesus said the same words to his disciples, that "I will be with you to the end of the age." And he's given us his Holy Spirit as proof of that. And finally, his manifest presence. This is basically whenever you see God at work and experience him in some way. In the Old Testament, we have lots of this. We have miracles that are happening throughout the prophets, his voice speaking, encounters that he had with people, his glory coming on times on the tabernacle and the temple, on the Ark of the Covenant. And so, for example, when the people would sin, they wouldn't lose the covenant presence, but they would lose the manifest presence. New Testament, same thing. Jesus himself is the presence of God. And wherever he showed up, you remember what happened. See miracles and healings of all kind, people being restored, works of the devil being destroyed. Essentially, whenever God shows up or God is present, you get life. And that's what I want, obviously, more in my life. And we want more in life, more our lives, and what I want to talk about today. If your life is anything like mine, there are times when God's presence seems very close. When you go to pray, it's just like instant access. You have amazing times of worship. The Bible pops out. You just see his blessing in so many areas of your life. Whatever you touch, it seems to turn to gold. But if you're like my life, then you also have times where God seems very distant. And you wonder, God, are you there? When you pray, it just seems to hit the roof and bounce back down. And you're like, did the rapture happen? Did Jesus come back and I got left behind? What happened? And so what I want to do this morning is I would like to look at a character in the Bible who, in my estimation, had a very, very strong experience of the manifest presence of God in his life consistently. And I want to ask the simple question is, how can we get that? Or as Pastor Lawrence said a couple weeks ago, how can I get some of that action? What do we have to do? What lessons can we glean? So this man is Moses. In Moses' life, we see lots of manifest presence. Of course, you see tons of miracles. You see God showing up with 10 plagues on Egypt to deliver them, opening up the Red Sea, swallowing up the army in one shot. You see a cloud leading them, a pillar of fire. You see manna every day from heaven. etc. So tons of manifest presence of God there. But there's something even greater that stirs my heart. And it says here in Exodus 33:11, it says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And I don't know about you, but that just stirs my heart. I read that and I'm like, God, I want that. He spoke just face to face conversationally. Wouldn't you love that sometime? Instead of kind of trying to figure out, God, what are you really saying? It's just, I can ask him just directly. It says in the next chapter, he comes down from the mountain speaking with God and his face is shining so bright that they have to put a veil in front of him. And for the rest of his life, they could never look at Moses' face again because he was so full of the presence of God. He radiated it out of his skin. And they put a veil to cover him and he'd lift it to go be with God, but he'd put it back so that people could actually hang out with him. This is the Moses whose life I want to consider this morning. Let's begin by looking at basically Moses' first encounter with God. It's probably a good place to start. So if you turn your Bibles to Exodus 3, right, the very first verse, or if you'd like, you can just look at the screen. And we'll read of Moses' first encounter with God. So now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Contrast that with after, where he's like talking with God face to face. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. I'm just kind of glad I said that right. I think. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And this is the same for many people, that it seems to start off with the call of God in their life. It's kind of how it was for me growing up in my church. I just kind of thought it was all about what we did for God. You need to get people saved. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. You need to accomplish this. You need to do that. It was all about the call. And yet at the same time, I knew there was something intrinsically valuable and highlighted about just our relationship with God and knowing him and being with him. And yet the two for me just somehow didn't seem to mix, and I could never figure it out in my head. There was the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But the two just seemed to be different. And Jesus said they were like each other. There is something about the calling of God in our lives that is interlinked with his presence in our life. And I'll tell you what I think it is. I think this is what it is. I think that God's calling on our lives, the good works that he's prepared for us to do, they give God some amount of pleasure. But I believe that God uses our callings to build our relationship with us, which gives him even far greater pleasure. I believe that he uses our callings as a means to develop our relationship with him. Or as I heard a man of God say one time, we're all about the destination, and God's all about the journey. So for instance, here's Moses, and God tells him, go deliver my people out of Egypt. Moses says, who me? I can't do that. God responds, I'll be with you. Well, what if my people ask what your name is? Tell them my name is I am. If you have a need, I am provision. If you have a problem, I am the solution. If you're stressed, I am peace. Tell them I am sent you. And as Moses talks with God here and eventually begins to do what he asks him to do, he begins to experience the reality of God in his life on higher and higher levels. He actually comes to know God as someone he can trust because he actually fulfills his promises. Someone who is truly more powerful than anything. Someone who is faithful and always provides a way out when there seems to be no way. Someone who's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, Someone who does not delight in doing harm to anyone. Someone who is patient. Someone who is kind. The list goes on and on and on. And when you see what's happening, the God that Moses had always heard about orally, right? The oral tradition, there was no writings, no scriptures back then. It's been passed down from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down. The God he'd heard about, or in our case, the God we've read about, suddenly begins to become real. And simply because he's heading towards his calling. Yesterday morning, I was playing with my daughter. She's 1.5 years old, and I was just playing, "I'm going to get you," and so I chase her, and then, "Come get me," and I run away, and she chases me. It was an hour of squealing. It was delightful. And one day, Kezia will be old enough that I can teach her to ride a bike. And I have a feeling that my excitement in teaching Kezia to ride a bike will not be in the final accomplishment of her being able to ride the bike. I believe the excitement I'm going to have is when I'm stabilizing that bike and I'm holding it there. And Kezia learns to trust me that I'm not going to let go, that I'm going to be right beside her. And I'll let go at the right time and be there if she falls. And if she falls, then I'll pick her right back up again. I think that relationship building, that trust, that shared experience will be with her and me for the rest of our lives together. But the riding a bike, that'll be good. Actually might even cause more problems. Now I'm going to go chase her somewhere and I can't even go as fast as she's going, you know. I think my excitement will be in the journey and not necessarily in the destination. And so God loves the journey. He's waiting for us, I believe, in every moment of every day for us to encounter him. Not just when we pray, not just when we're reading our Bible or we're here in a service like this, but he wants to accompany us in every moment of every day. Do you notice when Moses was there and is a burning bush? It's a very fascinating statement. It says, when Moses turned aside to see, it says, when God saw that Moses turned aside to see this burning bush, then he called to him. I wonder how many times God is trying to get our attention and we miss it. And it could be circumstances, provision, somebody sends across our path. We're having a down day and we're in the grocery store and the radio's playing and it's something about love and the Lord's just trying to say, "I love you." And we just miss it. We miss the constant overtures of his love. Last night I was here, preparing for my sermon and I'd done a fair amount of preparation, but I just wanted to get my heart ready and a few more things. And I was actually having a little bit of difficulty in prayer. And I was like, "What's going on? That's kind of weird." And I just kept feeling, just thinking about my family and thinking about Lara. And I think kind of like the cloud led Moses, the cloud of his presence last night was saying, "Be with your family." And so I got to preach tomorrow. I got to be ready. But after a little bit, I gave in and I called Lara and went out for dinner and took my mother-in-law out because she'd been helping out with our new baby. And it was just wonderful. And the Lord's presence was there. There's an example where the Lord's presence is in the journey. And it's not just all about just those special times when we're praying and things like that. There's one more thing that God actually does to kind of ensure that we're going to get to know him. And that is that he makes our ultimate calling impossible to fulfill. So, for instance, Abraham, you're going to have a child with your wife, Sarah. Yes, Sarah, that's right, the one who went through menopause decades ago. The one who cannot have kids anymore, you're going to have a baby with her. Gideon, conquer that army of tens of thousands with only 200 soldiers. Disciples, heal the sick, cleanse leper, raise the dead. Or in our case, Moses, your people have been in slavery for hundreds of years, the most powerful nation on earth. I want you to go get them. And don't forget your staff, you're going to need that. Impossible, impossible dreams. And yet, like Pastor Lawrence was saying 2 weeks ago, he was talking about dreams and saying often our dreams are too small. That if they're not impossible, do we even actually need God's presence to fulfill them? Said another way, in order to fulfill the impossible call of God in our lives, we will have to get to know the God of the impossible. I'll say it again. In order to fulfill the impossible call of God in our lives, we will have to get to know the God of the impossible. And so what are those impossible dreams that he's given you? You know, Moses' call there happened at 80. He was 80 years old. What are the impossible dreams that God's given you? And so it all starts with the call. I like that, though. It starts with that call, but do you know where it ends up with Moses? It ends up in friendship with God. And this is exactly what Jesus said. He said to his disciples in John 15:15, he's about to leave. He'd been with them for a few years. He says, I no longer call you servants, for servants don't know what their master is doing. I now call you friends, because everything my Father said, I've made known to you. Starts as a servant, just fulfilling our call, doing what God tells us to do, but it can end in friendship. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The Comforter, the Greek word there is paraclete, which actually the root of that word comes from the meaning of one who comes alongside us. It's a beautiful picture how God wants to accompany us through the journey, and as we accomplish his will for our lives, we get to know him in the process. And so I believe actually some people are pretty good at the first commandment. Spend a lot of time there, but they feel like they've plateaued. And I think it's because they're not pursuing the second commandment, the loving a neighbor as yourself. And they wonder what's going on. Why can't I get deeper? It's because they need to begin chasing after where God's chasing, where God is, essentially. Follow where the cloud of his presence is going. Some of you might be here and sort of saying, okay, Bruce, I hear you. In the past, I've tried to go for my calling or what I thought it was, and it never worked out. And I kind of was really frustrating, and I have a lot of questions. Some of you don't even know necessarily what your calling is. And others, I think, have just kind of stopped pursuing the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so over the next 5 weeks, you get lots of opportunities to explore and develop your calling. In the meantime, I just want to share with you just a couple of suggestions. When Moses got his first call from God, do you remember what he was doing? It says that he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And I think it's very fascinating. You start looking at all the examples in the Bible. You have the disciples, they were busy fishing and God called them. You've got David, he's tending sheep. You've got Joseph, he's being in the prison, he's being faithful there. God seems to call those who are just being faithful with what they've been given. So I believe there are many people who are not being faithful with what they've been given. Are you being faithful with what's right in front of you? I struggled with this this is difficult for me. I was really bad at that. I had these dreams that God gave me, these big dreams. And I would always think about that for the future. And I was so caught in the future, I could just never see who was in front of me right here in the presence. And I'd have people go by, and young kids, and they would want mentorship, but I just didn't even see it because I was so thinking about those big dreams and missing what's right in front of me. What does the Lord put right in front of you? Who is in your path? Who keeps coming across your path? Who does the Lord bring to your mind about people you may pour into and mentor and just touch base with? What is right in front of you? That's what the Lord's saying. Just do that. He's never asking us to do anything except what he's put in front of us. That's all he requires. Nothing more and nothing less. I remember it was 2 years ago before I came here, and I was kind of in the transition. I've been teaching for 10 years at high school and college, but I felt the Lord calling me more to do ministry. And I'm in that transition, and what do I do? And I would ask the Lord, I'd go, God, what do you want me to do right now? And clearly like this, just this thought would come in my mind, love your wife. Okay. God, I'm looking for direction here for future. And so maybe a month later, I'd ask God, what do I do? Should I go to seminary? What should I do? Love your wife. And time and time and time again, love your wife. Love your wife. Until finally, the thick German skull gets it. And I'm like, okay, I guess right now he's saying just love your wife. The calling that's right in front of you. You have a family, that is your first calling. Your wife, your husband. You have children, they are your first disciples. That's your calling. Who is right in front of you? Jesus said, if you're faithful with little, you'll be given much. So maybe sometimes there's opportunities that we're just missing in front of us, and the Lord's just saying, will you put your hand to the plow with the simple little things that I've put in front of you? Similar to that principle is another one, which is this. If you don't have a vision for your life, I would say this. Serve someone else's vision until God gives you your own. The first thing that Solomon did as a kid was he completed his father's mission to build the temple. And as soon as he did that and dedicated the temple, God showed up powerfully and that night appeared to him personally. And thus began the call and the walk of Solomon with God. Serve someone else's vision until God gives you your own. That's what Moses was doing. He's just tending his father-in-law's sheep until God showed up and said, now it's time. Jesus, the disciples served Jesus, and then he gave them their own. Well, that's probably all I want to say about calling. I'm spending too much time there. I'll leave that alone. And so We'll have a little time later on at the end of the service to reflect on that a little bit and kind of what does that mean for each of us. But right now, I kind of want to just shift gears a little bit and move to one of the other passions, which is that of teaching. There's a funny little story in Exodus 18 where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, comes and visits, and he sees Moses every day from morning to night surrounded by people with their problems, and he's trying to solve it. And I think the stats say that there were around 1 million or 2 million people that Moses led out of Egypt. I can't, here we have a church of 600 with a number of pastors and find it already like challenging. I can't imagine one man with 1 million people's problems to deal with. And so Jethro just gives him a little bit of good advice. Moses, this is crazy, paraphrased. You need to like set up some people that can help you with this and deal with some smaller problems and bigger problems and the real, real tough problems. Well, Moses, then you deal with those. And so he does that. Simple little advice totally frees up Moses' schedule. People, more people can now get their problems solved, and everybody's happier, and it results in a greater level of experience of God's presence. And so I would say this, that God speaks to us through people, through teachers he sends our way. Interesting, David actually had this one advisor. This is David who wore the ephod, who knew how to talk with God personally and inquire of him. They had this advisor, his name was Ahithophel. And it says actually in 2 Samuel 16:23 that in those days the counsel that Ahithophel, that's hard to say, gave was as if one consulted the word of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed both by David and by Absalom. So he had these advisors around him, even though he could inquire of God directly. God speaks to me also all the time through my wife. He's constantly speaking to me through my wife. And so whenever she talks, I know women right now are cheering everywhere. It goes both ways, by the way. When she speaks, I kind of just tune in for a second. I'm like, Lord, are you wanting to speak something to me through her? And it's not all the time, but it's often. And so God gives us teachers, like, for example, me this morning, or training nights that are coming up. But he also just gives us community around us to teach us just practical things. And that's another point, is that it's often, God's teaching is often just very practical, based on God's word, but very, very practical. For example, how many marriages are out there where they can't even try to experience the presence of God because there's so much quarreling, infighting, lack of trust, lack of communication, that to try to spend time with God, your mind is just vexed. You're so perplexed. I mean, that's an extreme example, but even on a small level, I mean, all of us can use, anyone who's married can use more marriage counseling. How to do that better. How to see more of the peace and presence of God in my own life and in my own family. You know, children. You know, I admire my wife so much. She read so many books about parenting and asked so many people for advice on how you do with your kids. And so we're constantly asking people, what did you guys do? And so many advice on our kids. And I think the ones that don't do that, they end up with these, they just have so much problem with their kids that they're stressed, they're tired and fatigued, and start talking about the presence of God. they're just trying to survive. Simple, practical teaching. How about finances? Anyway, there's another one that we could all use probably a lot of help on, just practical things that will enable us to fulfill our calling and experience God's presence. And obviously some of it's direct, like today, theological and beauty of Jesus and his presence and how to pray. But the combination of it all, God speaks through the teachers, and the result of the teaching is more of him. So all in all, God is in teaching. And finally this morning, I'd like to finish with the passion of community and how God's presence is in community. In Exodus 33:18, Moses says to God, this amazing, audacious prayer. And he says, Lord, show me your glory. And actually, God does it. God gives him like a taste. He hides him in a little bit of a rock. He passes by and he declares his name. It's like one of my favorite passages in the Bible. God just declares who he is. And Moses has this encounter with God, this amazing encounter. But I say it's only a taste, because what happens next is God gives them instructions on how to build the tabernacle right among the people. And when they finish building it, it says that the glory of the Lord came down and filled the tabernacle. And it says that even, I'll read it here, Exodus 40:34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In other words, he had a taste before, but the real glory that even he couldn't walk in was when God came among his people. So I will say this, the greatest manifestations of God's presence and power are reserved not for an individual, but for us all together. I think this is probably one of the first revelations that God actually gave me, just when I was younger. If you look at Ephesians 2, I think we have the scripture up here. Ephesians 2, 18 through 22. I'll read it. For, it says, "For through him," talking about Christ, "we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." And here it gets to it. "In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together, you and I, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Paul is referencing that event when God came down and filled the tabernacle. But he's saying now God wants to do it in us. God is building you and I together to become a place where God dwells in his fullness, in his glory by his Spirit. In other words, your destiny and my destinies, we're interlinked. If you don't reach your calling, God, I can't reach mine. And if I don't reach my calling, God, you won't reach yours. We're interlinked. We're in this together. And I think we haven't even tasted a fraction yet of what God has in store. And so the question, I guess, is, are you willing to commit to being built together to become that place where God dwells by his Spirit? I've made a little observation watching places where God seems to be so powerfully present. And what I've seen is all the people are strongly unified in vision. There's unity. I can go through the scriptures and talk about how God blesses unity. But there's unity in vision. And often it has a strong missional or outreach component. So I just say again, are you in? Are you just coming to church just for yourself? Or are you actually realizing we're together in this? That God wants to build this together. We link arms and we say, God, let's do this together. In closing here, I would talk about the final other passion, which is mission and outreach. But just for the sake of time, I won't go into it. But I will say this. If you've ever reached out to the poor or the homeless or the afflicted or the needy or the broken or the emotionally distraught, it doesn't take long to minister to them, and you quickly realize God is with them. Just God shows up when you do that. It has such the heart of God. Heart of God is with the poor. God is with the vulnerable. And so I would just say, like, well, his presence is there. I'd like to give us an opportunity just to reflect. I know I've kind of just gone boom, boom, boom through the points there, and I've kind of hit a lot of topics and all trying to wrap it up with the theme of his presence. But just in preparation for the fall here, take a look at those five things: presence, calling, teaching, community, mission, and outreach. And I just want us to, I'm just going to give some time. We have some time here this morning. I just want to give some time for us just to reflect and think a little bit about what God might be saying to you in any or some of those areas. And so I'd actually like you, just if you want to take out a pen and paper and just jot some thoughts down that the Lord's given you or whatever. But I'd like you actually just to close your eyes, if you would, and just make a little separate space in your heart right now for the Lord. Don't look around. Just spend some time with God here. And I'll just kind of recap a little bit about what I've touched on. And I just want you to talk with the Lord. I just want you to get serious and prepare your heart for this fall. Wise is the person that prepares before they build. So presence, to begin with, I'll ask this: where are you at with God? Do you have a passion for his presence? Or have you lost your first love and your life is actually filled with idols? Calling, are you pursuing your calling? Have you given up? What's that impossible dream that God's given you? Are you being faithful with what God's given you? Is it time simply to serve someone else's vision right now? Teaching. What do you need to learn? Where could you use some practical training? Is there anything God's calling you to teach, and to whom? Any people that he's asking you to mentor? Community. Is there a true value for community within you? Or do you tend towards independence? Is God telling you to get involved in a smaller group of people who you can be vulnerable with? And who knows you? It's a scary thought. or people you can pour into? And finally, mission. Are you aware of those around you, the needy, the poor, the vulnerable, your neighbor? What's God saying to you in this? So I'll be quiet now. And if we could just have some music in the background, that'd be lovely. And we'll just take a few minutes and you just talk with God. All right? And in a few minutes, then we'll close with a benediction. I encourage you to make it practical. What practical things will you do this week to respond to what God's saying? What will you commit to? How will things be different? Father, we just long. We long for your presence, God. Both in our lives, as this community, this church. God, we need more of your presence, Lord. We need more of your presence, Lord. Lord, would you crack open? Would you crack open our lives and pour out your presence? Would you show us how we can engage more with you, Lord? Would you deposit a rich well of your presence in this place, Lord? People come through the doors and they're instantly touched by your presence and your power. God, would you do that in us, Lord? Lord, for some, I even pray you would just light that fire again, Lord. You just light that fire, that passion again for your presence, Lord. That first love. God, would you stir the embers of the first love, Lord.
And Father, I just commit these words to you, Lord. And I ask whatever is not from you that it would just fade away, and whatever's from you, Lord, would remain and stick. So Father, we just commit our lives in your hands. We just thank you for your presence already. We thank you for the measure of presence that we already have, Father. We thank you that you do meet us. Your heart is so towards us, and for all the goodness and blessings in our lives. Father, we thank you so much for what we already have, and we don't take it for granted, Father. We worship you. We praise you, God, for your good. You are good, Lord. You are truly good. You are good. And God, we just ask for more. Would you just give us more, Lord? In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let me give you a benediction this morning. It's from number 6. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. So just a reminder to join us in the gym for coffee and fellowship afterwards, and also an invitation for anyone who wants prayer for anything. We have prayer teams up at the front, and please avail yourself to that. And other than that, God bless you. Have a fantastic day, and a great start to the fall.